Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan, and welcome to High Tech on Life. Today, we continue Tesla Week, all brought about because of the delivery of the very first Model 3 from Tesla. The very first one off the production line, I should say. Last Saturday, Elon Musk tweeted a picture of serial number 1. And that sparked a lot of news stories about them and how amazing it is. And it is. It's super awesome that they finally delivered that car, because that was the culmination of so many years of research and development and the delivery of other products like the Roadster, the Model S, the Model X. They finally got to this one that I could go buy. I could go reserve right now and purchase. And it's a low enough price that a bank would actually give me a loan for it. Weird. I know. So let's recap really quick what we did this past week. In episode 1, we talked about the history of Tesla, where they came from, how they began, and quickly went through their product line, and then finished it up with where they might be going in the future. Kind of a broad history of Tesla. In part 2, we went into the different models of their motor, of the automotive side of Tesla. And we went in depth on each of the models that they currently have available, the original Roadster, and then also what they're looking to do in the future. In part 3, we focused on the other aspect of Tesla, which is their battery development, and more specifically, their whole home systems, their solar city, solar house, solar roof stuff, along with the Powerwall, which, like I said in those episodes, that's kind of my favorite part. I really like that side of Tesla, because there's no drama to that. It's just simple. It makes sense. No one's really arguing your point, like whether you should pursue solar energy for your house. It's just a thing that everyone can get behind, solar energy, solar power. With that being said, I do think that solar power still has a way to come, but at least it's come to a place where it's small enough and cheap enough that we can put it in our home. Even though I think the technology just needs to mature just a little bit further, and then we'll be there. So, speaking of controversial subjects, in part 4, I really don't like to do this, but it seemed like we need to see both sides of the argument on this one. But here in part 4, we're going to discuss at least one other option for electric powered vehicles. Because as you know, and as I've stated in previous episodes, and multiple people have stated, I mean, you look at what is Tesla's goal. Or initially was to bring the electric car into the mainstream and commercialize it and make it an actual thing that people can afford, and it would take place of our gas-guzzling, polluting cars, right? That's kind of the whole point of electric cars. And whether there's an environmental element to it in your mind, that's perfectly fine. Mine is always just the cost. I think that's why I'm so heavily in on the solar home thing, is because it's generating electricity from the sun and it's storing it in a battery. So I'm just getting what the good Lord gave us. You know, I'm not having to pay for to power my house. Now, when we get into what the cars were initially for, is to get rid of gas-powered cars and the pollutants that come out of gas-powered cars. That's definitely something that I think is important. But what I don't think some people realize is that, you know, where does the power come from? If you put a supercharger in your home to charge overnight or to charge your car quickly, where's that energy coming from? Where's that electricity coming from? It's coming from coal plants. There's probably some wind farms around and some solar arrays that are popping up, and there are more. And it does take time to get these new technologies implemented, but as of now, that's not the case. It's very much coal powered plants, and nuclear energy, and there's also some hydroelectric energy that's being produced. So that's, I mean, that's complete, I believe, anyways, I believe that's completely environmental friendly on those. But with the electricity that we get from our home, that's coming from a coal plant somewhere. So you're not really, I mean, you're cutting your car out, so that's a teeny bit, but you're really just still consuming fossil fuels in some way. And as we know, that is why Tesla has pushed so hard for the solar cities and the solar roofs and the Powerwall's concept in general, the whole home power package, because they know that. They know that even though they've created an electric car and it gets rid of your gas-powered car, they still have that electricity from the power company. So I'm glad that they didn't just sit back and not have that in mind, because so many people do. And so many companies that create these electric cars may not have that same end goal in mind, where we do want to be a completely off, not necessarily off the grid, but we want to be self-sustaining with our electricity. So I'm glad that Tesla has also taken on that challenge, because that's what needs to be done. If they want their entire goal, their entire their top tier goal of getting rid of pollution, then that's what they needed to do. They needed to introduce the solar roofs and the solar cities and the Powerwall 2, all that stuff. And but in their cars, could there possibly be another solution out there? How many people have ever heard of the Honda HCV or the Toyota Mirai, I think it's called? These two cars are an interesting creation, because they are very much electric cars, but they do not rely on power from the wall. They create their own power. And HCV, if you didn't know, stands for hydrogen cell vehicle, which means they're fuel cell and they're ran off of hydrogen. Now, there's a lot of controversy regarding hydrogen vehicles and their efficiency. And, you know, it may take some energy to prepare the hydrogen to be put into your car, but I don't think it's a lost cause. Some people do. Some people think it's because it's not as efficient, that it just doesn't belong, like blacklisting it. Like, why should we spend money developing this? Well, no matter what your preference is, there's no reason why we can't have both. Now, we have to kind of go back to where we were at the beginning of the whole electric car thing. When we started with electric cars, were they efficient? No, they were not. You couldn't do anything you could do today with battery-powered cars. And yes, they have been talking about fuel cell vehicles for a very long time, but they've also been talking about electric cars for a very long time. And without knowing it, I think the entire go green community, I guess I'd call it, the environmentalist community, decided to go with the electric car. And when you have billions of dollars from Elon Musk going into that idea, of course it's going to take off, and of course it's going to progress quicker in the technology that is developed for it. And I'm not saying that there's no money going into hydrogen powered cars, but I don't think there's nearly as much as electric. And I only base that on the fact that electric cars are so prominent now, and hydrogen cars, there's only a few companies out there that even make them. But I think what had to happen is that other technology had to be developed in order for hydrogen cars to even be a thing, even be plausible. And the reason why I think that they may have a leg up, the only reason really that they have a leg up at the moment on electric cars, is that you can fill up your car in like 3 minutes and you're done and you're on your way. You know, you don't have to sit there for a half hour or an hour waiting for the car to recharge to continue on your road trip. Now, yes, that's coming down. I understand that. You don't have to tell me that. soon we will, I would say probably in the next 10 years, I think we will have the battery technology that Tesla is producing where you plug in your car, you hit a button, boom, just like that, it's charged up. Or, you know, at least I'll give it 5 minutes. If they want to give me 5 minutes to charge, perfect. But they have to get there. And they are. I mean, they are. Tesla is getting there. They will. But before it can be widely adopted and mass marketed and like everybody's going to switch from their car, their gas-powered car to an electric car, that has to be there. That's a key thing that has to be there. And there's a lot of talk also about the infrastructure and the cost to transport things. I mean, we didn't have the infrastructure of charging stations everywhere. That had to be created as well. And while it may not cost quite as much as hydrogen, in the long run, what the hydrogen car gives us is a sense of normalcy that electric cars, you still have to adapt to the car and not to how you currently live your life. And that's what appealed to me about the hydrogen car. Now, I'm not a scientist. I don't know how that stuff works. I don't math very well, and you could probably hear it. You know, I don't do numbers too well. I do not do numbers well. But if there's one thing I do know about humans in general is that a lot of us don't like to be pulled out of that comfort zone. I'd say the majority of us, we like to live in our comfort zone and we don't want our lives to be changed dramatically. Now, I don't think a Tesla will change it extremely. No, that maybe not that dramatically, but it will change it in some way. You do have to plan out things a little more in the future when you're traveling, even commuting. And honestly, with both cars, if you break down on the side of the road, if you run out of power, you can't just walk down to the electric station and fill up your can with electricity and bring it back to your car. You've got to tow that sucker to a charging station or to your house where you have a charging station and then charge up there. It's more about the convenience of it all and the inconvenience if said thing happens where you break down on the side of the road in your Model 3 and you're stuck there for a while. You can't just walk down the street and get some gas. You can't have somebody take you to the nearest gas station, fill up a gas can and bring it back. Now, that's never happened to me, thankfully, but well, at least not in my own car. I've been in a car where that's happened. I'll tell you that story some other time. But if we're looking into ways that we can least affect our current way of life, I don't know. Just electric cars in general kind of fall short there. But like I keep saying, they're getting closer. They are getting closer. I mean, if you could have some sort of a backup battery pack, not as big as the car, but like let's say a backup pack where you can. Has anybody ever driven a motorcycle? And I had one. I had a basic Kawasaki Ninja, and the interesting thing about it didn't have a fuel gauge. My dad actually had an old Kawasaki 175 from the 70s, and it didn't have one either. But what you had is you had a reserve fuel knob, and what that gave you is when you felt it kind of sputter a little, you'd flick it to the reserve, and then you'd go find a gas station. And I know that adds more weight. Batteries add weight to a car. But if there's some sort of a reserve power supply in the car, so if you run out of juice, you have enough to get you another like 10 to 20 miles down the road. And its sole purpose is just for reserve power, just in case something like that happens. Or maybe an option where you can say, I want this much of the battery cells to be put on reserve. That way you're not adding more weight to the car. I don't know. It's really close. I'm excited for the future of what Tesla is giving us. And the direction of the company seems like it can't drop a bad product. Everybody is always, they're like the Apple of today. They're the ones who get you excited for that next product release. I'm waiting for them to drop a red camera play and all of a sudden they're coming out with a mobile phone that recharges itself on solar energy. That'll be the next thing. Then they will be Apple. Then they will have done the next breakthrough in technology. So I don't know. What do you guys think? I would really like to hear your guys' opinions on this, whether fuel cell vehicles suck. I know that Elon Musk has said many things about them, that they're just silly and they're inefficient. And that's whatever. That's his opinion. And but I don't think he should totally just say it's stupid and you shouldn't even try. You know, why would we even... We wouldn't have some of the stuff that we have today if somebody didn't try. So to just simply go, no, it's stupid. I don't even know why we shouldn't even have... I was watching that interview that I think probably all of you have seen, where he's like, well, I don't even know why we're having this discussion. We don't even need to argue it, because battery power is better than fuel cell power. It just is. It's better. It's more efficient. Well, the end. Like he was the definitive judge on what is the best way to go. That aggravates me a little bit, but who am I? I'm not Elon Musk. So anyways, yeah, let me know what you guys think. Yay or nay to fuel cell cars? Do you think it's something that we can, that could be an option in the future? I definitely think it can. If there's some way to combine the two, I don't know how to do that, but it's just that whole charging process that still just gets to me when I need to go somewhere, when I need to get somewhere that is out of the range of the car and really being inconvenienced, where I have a million other things I need to worry about. I just need my vehicle to work. And everybody's been through that, where something happens to your car and you're out of a car for a few days and your life just feels like it gets all jumbled up and you're still trying to recover from that a couple days after you get your car back, you know? Like we had one time I was out on tour with my band, and our transmission went out on our van, and it totally took everything to a grinding halt. We didn't have to cancel any shows. I think actually we had to cancel one on the night that it actually happened, but we were able to rent a little budget truck, you know, the little like 10 footer truck to put our gear in and to get to the next venue. And we played that next show, but it threw us off for the whole entire rest of the tour. Even when we got our van back, we were still recovering. We had lost money because we had to pay for a van. None of us were in the best of moods. All our gear was in different places. It was a strain on everything. And that happens when your personal vehicle goes down. So long and the short of it is, you need a reliable vehicle that will work and will get you where it needs to go. That's it. So hit me up. Let me know. Comment on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Let me know where you guys stand. You can also email me, ryan@hightechonlife.com. Let me know what you decide there. Maybe we'll go through a few comments and see what the consensus is. What can we settle on this show? Anyways, there's a little controversy for you, a little debate that we could have on what is the best road, so to speak, to go down as far as replacements for gas-powered cars. Or if you're like me, I enjoy and really like the technology that comes from electric cars, but I'm not 100% convinced that we do need to replace all of our gas-powered cars. Like, because the whole point of the whole, there's two different points to those cars. One is that we're consuming fossil fuels and they will eventually run out. But the other one is the pollutants that are sent into the air. Now, one thing that I found interesting is that if you look at some of the diesel-powered vehicles these days, they burn so clean. They have an additive that goes in and it takes the exhaust and I think it dissipates it or gets rid of it. And they burn so clean that the air coming out of the exhaust is cleaner than what's coming in to the vehicle, to the air intake. So while it's driving down the road, it's cleaning the air. So the next time you see like a newer semi-truck and you see it driving down the road, if it's newer, it's probably a cleaner burning car. So with those kind of advancements in the way that the engine actually burns the fuel, do we really need to invest all this money in electric cars? Look at that. More controversy. I just can't stop. But I'm going to have to, because it's the end of the show. If you have not heard the first three parts of Tesla Week, go back and subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud, and you can listen for free. And you can download it to your device for free if you want. all the previous episodes, all the previous parts of Tesla Week. Part one, we went through the history. Part two, we went through the different models of their vehicles. And part three, we went through the product lineup of their powerhouse and their the whole home power. I called it the powerhouse. You can go back and listen to all of those. Also listen to our past episodes from episode one, because all of those episodes can stand on their own. And you can just, you know, if you're bored one day, you can just roll through them. If you want to get in touch with us, hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Just search for @HiTechOnLife, HiTechOnLife, and that'll bring us up. If you like what you hear, or if you think I'm an idiot, share it with your friends and you guys can discuss. But if you do like, hit that like button and subscribe. This podcast comes out every single day, so every day you have a new episode ready for you. 8 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Eastern. That's more just because I'm lazy. I don't really want to wake up earlier. I mean, 8 a.m. is pushing it already, so let's not get crazy. But, you know, you're to work and you're already in your groove, so the podcast drops and you listen to it. Like I said earlier, you can always email me, ryan@hitechonlife.com. Let me know what you guys want to hear. If you have any ideas of tech that you would like me to discuss and we can have a conversation about it, hit me up, ryan@hitechonlife. Again, be sure to check us out on SoundCloud and iTunes. And I think we're also on Stitcher and pretty much anywhere that you have a podcast, we are there. So check it out. We're almost to the end of the week. Tomorrow is Friday. Tesla Week is almost over. So in part five, we will discuss a little bit of Tesla-related material, but then we will also review other news stories from this week in the tech industry. And we will discuss them, and you guys can let me know what you think. So, we will wrap up Tesla Week, and I will talk to you tomorrow in part five.